If you need some Elvis Presley Roll Tide shared with you, then you're going to need our next speaker, who was with Dale Carnegie for 33 years, owned the Houston franchise for over 20 years, 10-year stretch, got the top award in Dale Carnegie worldwide, 5 out of 10 years running. The man that I started learning leadership from, master leadership coach, master sales coach, master personal development coach, my mentor, Mr. Rick Jones. Yes. Woo! Got to shake that leg, man. Woo! Look at it.
All right, Mr. Rick Jones.
Woo! 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 Love you. Love you, Chief. Love you, Dad.
I came in here this morning, I heard his voice, and I said, oh, we had karaoke last night. Did he think he was with Kiss again, or Guns N' Roses, or Lynyrd Skynyrd? Is that what this is all about this morning?
Yes, sir. Hey, I should have done some Kiss last night, man.
I was riding in the car with him. I think he mentioned this once to y'all. And we had just completed something at the end of the day.
All day, Destin, dream day, on the beach, hot.
We got
dark
in the car.
At night. We already had dinner.
Yeah, he cranked up that radio.
Led Zeppelin, long play.
I had no idea what I was listening to, but I told him, I said, I want to tell you what, if I had to listen to that very long, I'd be smoking something too. Oh, goodness.
Woo!
You know, we've been in this room now, first time as far as I know. I'm used to going down that rest by the restroom and down the hallway. A while ago, I went to the restroom, and I did what I thought I always did, and I walked down that other hallway, and there was a meeting in there with these rows of people right where the door opened, and I'm up in near the front of the room. I opened that door, walked right in front of everybody. The guy's in the middle of his presentation. Everybody looks at me, and I just didn't know what to do. So I just said, I'm sorry, I was looking for the restroom. Even though I just come from there, right? Oh, Lord. Anyhow, don't we have fun here in the inner circle? And you know why? It's because of that guy named right back there, all right? Howard Partridge, all right? I met him, I don't know, how old is Christian now? I met him 25 years ago, maybe 26, because he hadn't been born yet. He was in Denise's tummy, all right? And I was with him. You know, he gets up and he talks about all those things, but I was with him back then. And he was not a happy camper. And he was doing okay, getting by, struggling, lots of debt. But, you know, all of us come to a point where we have to say, is this what I really want? Is this where I'm supposed to be? And Howard took off on a journey. He made decisions in his company with the folks in it. He started going to seminars. He hired coaches. He worked with his mentor. He built dreams. And I got to go down there and went down in Destin when all we had was a little post office. And he said, this is my dream. And he told me all what it was. And he made it happen. And I don't think there's anybody in here that can't do the same thing. I've seen it happen again and again and again. And we're going to talk about something today that really it's not my favorite thing to teach. And that's called PRDs, which stands for the Performance Results Description. It's a kind of a tool that's more technical. But the longer I've been teaching this, I've all of a sudden realized, you know what? This is a lot more important than I thought it was. And I want to show you why this morning, because everything it ties into is about what we need to be focusing on. You've heard it from Howard. You've heard it from most of our speakers, from Tom. And we're going to hit it again, part of it. And then I'm going to get into the PRD. But it's very critical, and I'm talking about vision. I'm talking about mission. I'm talking about values. I'm talking about purpose. If we don't have those, we're going to struggle. We're going to just kind of bounce around. Well, we may have some successes here and there, but we're never going to accomplish the things that we want to, that God had a purpose for us. So we're going to look at how to tie all that together this morning. So let me throw out a question to you. How many of you ever played darts? Anybody in here, you ever played darts? All right, so let's suppose tomorrow morning if you were all here and I invited you to just come into the room and I said, hey, we're gonna have fun. I got darts for everybody here. You walk into the room and I give you all these darts, right? A handful of darts. So what are you going to start looking for? You're going to start looking for a what?
Dartboard.
A dartboard. Well, what's on a dartboard? A target, right? Well, this is what happens, unfortunately, to a lot of business folks in this country. They got a lot of darts, but they're not throwing them at the target. They're called getting busy. Those are those busy little things, right? From here, here, and we go home at the end of the day, and we look back over it, and we're like, what did I really accomplish today? I was busy, but I don't think the dart hit the target. We had the darts. So we're going to really accomplish our dreams and goals. We have to make sure that we hit the target. And that's why I drew this one little, by the way, I didn't write that on there. Sonny put that over there, something about master something. I don't know what it was. The only thing I'm master of is I can get my shoes on in the morning, pull up my britches and tie my belt. Anyhow, if you aim at nothing, guess what? You'll hit it. Someone said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll probably end up there. You can think about that one for a minute, right? But you know we want to hit the dart. So let's talk about, first of all, we just ended up our calendar year at the end of December, right? Now we're starting 2019. So the question is, and I don't want you to answer it, but just think right now, did you hit your sales goal? Did you make a profit? Mr. Partridge says, if you didn't make a profit, basically what we have is a hobby. Well, how many of you never want a hobby, right? How many of you want a business, a very profitable business? Let me see a show of hands. All right, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So the question is, we start off here, as you can see, over here on the left, it says as is. That's the way things are today in your company, wherever you are. Now, I put the word as is there, but what I really mean is reality. The as is your reality. It's the way things are today in your business. Are you happy with it? Did you hit your goals? Did you make the profit? Now, if you did, good. If not, we need to say, why not? And if you did, what can we do to be even better this coming year? Make sense? Say yes.
Yes.
All right. When I ask a question, I like to see this or this. When it's this, I don't know, okay? So, but what's at the other end of that? Those steps on the screen? The should be. Now, I call that the vision. So what do we have to do to get from that as is, what we call reality, the should be, which is your vision? And then you're going to find that the PRD can probably be one of the best instruments in doing that, even though it's a technical type document, because it involves the most important thing in your company. So with that in mind, John Maxwell said that vision adds value to everything. Not a few things, it adds value to everything. As you look at your chart, your organizational chart, the people that you put on there will be the ones responsible for taking you as far as you want to go. Unless you want to wear all the hats and have all the stress. How many of y'all want all the stress in here? Not any, right? All right. So how are we going to fill those slots up? And what do we do once we get the people in places? This is what's important. If you put all those U's in those boxes, you're going to have a lot of stress. A lot of it. And being a coach, I've had the opportunity to hear a lot of stories over the past 7 years. And I guess as a coach, that's what bothers me the most, but it also is what drives me the most, is to help people to develop their leadership potential and have a profitable business. And I love it when I see the turnarounds and some things happen. Howard, you remember the letter I just sent a copy of you to some folks up north to have the business? They said they now are debt-free. They had $175,000 in the bank. See, that took us about 18 months to get to that point. But from where they were to where they are now, no comparison. They said, we've never felt freedom like this in our life. And that's what we want to shoot for. The number one leadership principle is, those closest to me determine my success. That's pretty good, right? I wonder how much of our success, when we get those closest to it, who are those? What percentage would that be? 85% of a leader's success will come from your team members. From your team members. That's why it's important that we have the right people in those slots on your team. I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of you, and I get the chance to go down to, what's the name of that little town, AC? Stanford, somewhere down that area, anyhow. And work with his team, and this guy's got so many dreams, and I'm telling you, he's got a good team together. He's going in so many different directions, and I get excited just working with him and seeing the things that he's going to be doing and accomplishing. Will he have some bumps? Will he have some challenges? Sure. But he's got the plan, and that's what it takes. Because if you don't have a plan, you're not going to accomplish your vision. It's just it's not going to happen. We have to have a plan, and we're going to talk about that this morning also. So with that in mind, I want to go over here to this slide right here, but before I do, I want to share a couple things with you. If 85% of our success comes from our team members, we need to have some pretty good ones. Would you agree? How many of you find it's real easy to get good, profitable employees? Now, just look around the room, all right? Now, today, I mean, let's go back maybe 3-4 years ago. There's a lot of folks out there that we could hire, right? What is unemployment today? 3.9? Most of what's left is not that good, right? So we got to get them sometimes from a lot of other people. Let me share a couple of quick things, and we're going to get into the PRD. But this is very, very critical. I just, in fact, I was up this morning. I got up about 4:55. Is that right, hon? 4:55. And I kept telling Brenda, I said, you know, I've been teaching this PRD. I said, but I'm missing out, I think, the most important part of it. I usually jump right into it, but it's the part in front of it that's most important. This just came out from Forbes magazine. They got their figures from SBA and Dun & Brad. And they said this year alone, or last year, excuse me, the turnover in the United States, employee turnover, cost the U.S. $160 billion in turnover. All right. It said in September of 2018, that's just a few months ago, that 3.6 million Americans quit their jobs voluntarily. They weren't let go. They just quit voluntarily. Which, with the economy on solid footing, they said, employees now are not hesitating to jump to other opportunities. Which says that managers now and leaders need to work more seriously toward increasing workplace morale and improving the employee experience. And they've did a survey. And Howard, do you remember the one that we used to have in Dale Carnegie years ago about what was the most important thing to employees? Well, this is 25 years old, but I read this when I almost fell out of my chair. It's almost identical, and they just took this. It shows you that certain things never change in the business world, particularly when you involve people. What they did was this. They said that understanding the organizational culture and the employee experience today is the things that inspires the reasons why employees stay. That culture is big. Now, what do we mean by that? It says, executives often think today, now they use the word executives, but it can be the leader, the owner, that the more material benefits, they offer to employees, the happier those employees will be and the less they will want to leave. That's simply not the case. Consider this side-by-side comparison. I'm going to give you this real quick. This is the expectations versus reality. What managers, leaders, owners think employees want the most. They said with salary compensation, now this is the owners, managers and leaders, salary and compensation increases. Two, 401k, other type retirement plans. Three, office features, fun things. Four, company-paid perks, car, phone, etc. And five, room to grow within the organization. That's what the employers said. Now let's go over here and look at reality, what employees really want, they said. Number one, a sense of purpose. A sense of purpose. Two, managers who not only provide feedback, but also listen to their employees and work with them to solve problems and chart strategy. Number three, a relationship with their manager, leader, that is based on communication and mutual respect. Number four, development opportunities. Now get this, even if that development isn't necessarily upward, even if they don't get a promotion, just to have the opportunity to be developed. And number five, an internal belief that the work they are doing is important to the organization. 25 years ago, managers said the number one thing was money. Two, they said it was a chance for a promotion. And three, the environment. But the employees 25 years ago said number one was appreciation for good work. Number two, to be a part of things, a part of a team, to feel that they're a part of something. And number three was help with their work. Really, nothing's changed. So this kind of gives us a good idea when we get good people, and that's what we want to do, what is important in the marketplace. Now, with that in mind, a couple of folks have written a book, two books actually. One's called Love Them or Lose Them, Getting Good People to Stay. They have said now that what people really want is meaningful and challenging work, a chance to learn and grow, fair and competitive compensation, recognition, respect, and a good boss. Is there anything on there that we cannot provide as a small business owner? See, we can do so much more than a bigger company. We can change on a dime. We can make decisions and make things happen so much quicker than corporations. The gentleman over, these three of them over here, Brian and all the rest of the crew and their mother, I had an opportunity to meet at a Ziegler workshop. What kind of a year do you guys just have? Why don't you stand real quick, Tim? Tell them what kind of year you had.
We had a phenomenal year of growth and personal development.
And they had some challenges.
We finished the year doing more work, more fun, and ahead by 24%.
And I'm not going to ask them to share, but they made a bunch of money this year. Not just sales, not the sales quota. I'm talking about profit, am I right?
Yes.
You want to share it or you just want to kind of hang it out there?
It was about $500,000.
About $500,000. When we met them, they had just lost their father a while back, right? And they were going through a lot of adjustments to see what they were going to do. They joined our organization, and I tell you, they've been such a pleasure to work with. But these are the kind of folks, when you take the things that we do here and implement them, right, they work. And you've heard Howard say that 100 times. A couple of other things that they said was great coworkers, recognition, respect, and a good boss. And they said create a culture of respect. That was one of the most important things. And there's a lot more, but I wanted to just give you a recap of that because I think as we look towards the future, we need to know what's out there. And it's going to be harder to get good employees. And when we do, we want to make sure that we do what we can to keep those employees to where they can become valuable. And some of them will turn into leaders. Now you're not just adding to your team, you're multiplying your team. Then they can do a lot of those things. Folks like Bella.
Sherry, look at the team that they have now. I can remember the first time we met Sherry. She came down here, and boy, that first 2 hours, did she ever tell you about that? It was a little heated, right? And she slammed her fist down there. She says, "I'm just confused." And we had a good time after that. We got down to some things. She put all kind of systems in place, and look what's happened. And now you got people like this coming to our conference. But we got to do the work, right? Okay, very quickly. Okay, everybody turn to this. You've got a handout. There's a page for you. Please go to it because I want to cover a couple of quick things. Down there where it says individual performance, over to the left, you see the words job function, key result areas, standards, activities, and skills, right? I want you to look up at the top part where it says vision, mission. By the way, that's a typo. Forgive me, all right? My eyes aren't what they used to be. Values and purpose. And you look to the right, and whose responsibility is that? What's that word over there on the right-hand corner up top? That's the organization. That's the company's responsibility, all right? And what I used to do, I'd jump right down into the PRD, but I need to share a couple of quick things with you. I was up at 5 o'clock this morning, and I was telling Brenda, I said, you know what? The PRD is not going to work if we don't get these other things in alignment. It's not going to happen. So I just want to go over again the simple reasons why some of these areas like this right here are important. First of all, I want to ask you, how would you define personally vision? What comes to mind when you think of the word vision? If anybody just raise their hand, stand up and shout it out, all right? How would you define vision? Please stand, all right?
Dreams and goals
for the future. That's a good definition. Great. Somebody else. AC.
Casting clarity.
Casting clarity. Like that. We sure want to be clear about what it is. All right, someone else. Please stand.
Your ideal end in mind.
All right. Seeing the end from the beginning, right? Okay. Someone else. Anybody else want to stand up and throw it out there? Well, we got some good definitions. Let's go with those. Now, let me give you some simple, dimple explanations of vision. I wanted to break this down to where it's so simple that even Howard can understand it, all right? All right. I know it. We'll get back on track in a minute, Pod. All right. By the way, I call him Pod a lot because in Texas, you heard the word podna. So I call him Pod, and he loves pods. So I thought that'd be a great nickname for him, all right? What is a vision? And I just wrote this down. I've done a lot of research. I've read a lot of books on them. But this is the simplest statement I could find, but I think it covers it. Vision, a brief statement that describes the future of your company. A brief statement that describes the future of your company. Couple things you want to have in it. You want to write it in clear language, like AC just said, clarity. And when you do that, you will find it will pull your team forward towards that vision. So that's what I had down. You're going to find that good leaders and vision go together like fire and heat. That's what it's all about. In the Bible, Habakkuk number 2, verse 2 says, the Lord said, write the vision. Right? Write the vision and make it plain that he may run that reads it. That's how the Bible, folks. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, let me tell you about it. He says, write it down. And that's why we have to have something written down. Howard's version of leadership is what? Anybody tell me what his version of leadership is? And he came up with this brilliant statement. Being from L.A., that's Lower Alabama, I was a little surprised. But since I'm from the same state, same high school, but I came from UCLA, that's the upper class of Lower Alabama. But I thought it was a brilliant statement. Can't get around that one, can I? So, vision. I'm sorry?
Nobody knows it.
I think so.
Leadership. Mm.
What is it?
Effectively communicating your vision.
Man, give him a big hand, right? There's a key word in there, effectively communicating your vision, mission, values, and purpose. Effectively communicating it. All right, so the Lord said, write the vision and make it plain that he may run that reads it. All right? You know that sight is the function of the eyes, but vision is the function of the heart. That's where it comes out of here. Now, next one is mission. What does a mission mean? That is a description of the logical path to the vision. It's a description of the logical path to the vision. Something you might want to add to it with realistic expectation and measurable results. I'm keeping these short, but I think this covers what we need to know to do to come up with these statements. With realistic expectations and measurable results. Description of the logical path to the vision with realistic expectations and measurable results. And the next one is values. What are values? This is what builds your culture, by the way. Your mission statement and your values is what's going to build that culture. Values are guidelines by which people relate to each other, including colleagues, customers, and the community at large. And that's why we talk about community so much. 7 years ago, I was looking to buy a small company after I left Dale Carnegie. I'd been there actually 34 years. And I was supposed to have an appointment in Florida with a company to purchase one. And because I didn't want a big company again, I was 67 years old, and I had a nice retirement, but I didn't want to just, well, I did retire for a year and 3 months. And that's why I wanted to do something. I didn't feel like, I was about to went nuts, actually. And I slept late, went to bed late, and put on about, I forgot how many pounds, but I said, you know what, this isn't good. And then I went to see my heart doctor, and he said, Rick, let me give you two words of advice. He said, keep your mind active and keep your body active. Because I'd had heart surgery in 1999, open heart surgery. So I took his words at heart. So I wanted to do something. So I had to make a decision. Well, I met with Howard, and Howard had just met with Tom. They had formed that partnership, and they asked me to join. And as you know, I told Howard that I would come, but he couldn't pay me anything for 6 months. Because I wanted to be sure whatever I did for the rest of my life, it was something that I could enjoy, make sure I could help other people. So I had to make a decision. Will I go down there? Then I knew the folks there. It was going to be good. But I prayed about it. I thought about it. And I told them that I would. But the main reason I would or did is this. Because of what we're talking about right here. Values. And employees that you interview have values also, the good ones, anyhow. So that's the decision because of the values that Howard has and Tom had that I decided to come with this organization. And that was almost 7 years ago. God led me to the right decision. The next one, okay. Purpose. What is purpose? Purpose is why you do what you do. It's that simple. It's why you do what you do. It's the reason you go to work every day. So you might want to ask yourself this question or even ask your employees, what would happen if your position didn't exist? They might say, well, you'd hire somebody else. Yes, but what would happen if the position didn't exist? How would that impact your company? So think about that. Why do you go to work every day? What is your real purpose there, all right? And you need to think about these because these are very serious questions. I know, I've been through them. So we've covered vision, values, and purpose. And I wish I had time to talk more about purpose this morning. My wife talked a lot about it at our prayer time together this morning. But purpose is when you know and understand what you were born to accomplish. You see, people fail a lot of times because they don't know what they want to succeed in. We just go and do and do and we're busy. And you will find that vision will come from purpose. That might surprise you, but that's where vision comes from, is purpose. And the secret, if you really want to know the secret to it, and I know that some of you may not be or believe the way a lot of us do, but in Psalms 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, when God tells me something like that, I'm like, wow, I want to get in on that, right? Now, there's a little bit of a, you know, He says, delight yourself in the Lord. That means there's a few things we got to do, but He will give you the desires of your heart, your purpose. You know that God put that purpose in there? That's why you have these desires to do certain things. Everything that He did, He had a purpose for. All you have to do is read the Bible and you'll find that out. There's a purpose for everything. Now, the question is, do we have a vision today? Do you have a vision? Or do you have a vision statement? You see, here's what happens a lot of time. A lot of folks have mission statements, vision statements, value statements, purpose statements. But the problem is there is no game plan or action plan on how to implement them. How many times do you ever hear an employer, someone or a CEO say, this is our vision, and this is our mission, and this is our purpose, and this is our values, and here's the action plan on how to make that happen. They always leave out that what? Last part. They put things up on the wall, and basically all it is a bunch of bunk. And I know because I used to conduct meetings, and they would brag about it, and I'd go into the meetings and have someone to stand up and say, boy, I hear you've got a great mission statement. I hear you've got a great vision statement. What is it? Nobody could stand up and tell what it is. So not only did they not know it, I can assure you they were not implementing it there. So what does that really mean in terms of a business? If you want to be the number one company in your city and whatever you do, how are you going to be number one? How are you going to be number one? If you're going to exceed customers' expectations, how are you going to exceed those customers' expectations? It's the how-tos. It's the plan that's going to make everything happen. So we need to have an implementation plan where everyone in that company understands the vision, the mission, the values, the purpose, and then how to take action on it. If you want to have a profitable company, you want to attract good people that will produce good results, this is the backbone of everything here. Tim, y'all have most of this now, don't you? And you practice it. You have a lot of meetings with your staff, and you go over these things. If I remember our conversations, is that right? And what do you think it's done for your company, other than $500,000 in profit?
Brought clarity. It's helped us to work together for the common goal, and it's brought a better experience for our clients.
Wonderful. Give him a hand. Thank you for that. All right. So when you do that, this is important because you train your employers, or how you train your employees, excuse me, not employers, will determine their results and yours. So keep that in mind. How you train your employees will determine their results and yours. And that's where the PRD is really going to be a valuable, valuable asset to you. So there is no future without planning. No planning, no vision. In Luke, I think it's Luke 11:28, it says, for which of you intend to build a tower, does not sit down first and consider the cost, whether you have enough to finish it. And that's what happens a lot of times. We don't take the time to plan. So no future without planning. No planning, no vision. Now, let's look at the handout, because I wanted to really help you understand, folks, the need for those four things in your business. You might say, well, there's just me and one other purpose. Well, I mean, one other person. Would you want to just be that way 20 years from now, or 5 years from now, or 3 years? If you want to be just one person, that's okay. But you're going to have a lot on your shoulders, and God forbid the beer truck ever hits you, all right? Because then what are you going to do, right? So the idea is growth. That takes good people. That takes training. And that's what we're talking about here today. So now you're ready to learn how to put the PRD together? Say yes.
Yes.
All right. Okay, the first page you've got there, you see. So the top part is your responsibility. See where it says organization, the vision, the mission, the values, and the purpose. Now we're going to go down here to the individual performance. And why is that so? Do we have a mic by any chance? Anybody got a mic? Okay, good. Thank you. I want someone to volunteer to read this. And I'd like everybody to follow along, because there's a lot of meat in this statement. And this is why the PRD is so important. Who would like to volunteer to read that for us out loud with the mic? Huh? With a little Dutch accent? Dutch accent, yeah. Hey, I thought it was from Cut and Shoot, Texas. I couldn't tell the difference. Dan, why don't you go ahead? Do you want to read it?
All right.
Go ahead.
When we maximize the performance process, we create a culture through our systems where people are free to achieve the results the organization needs to stay competitive and exceed customer expectations, while at the same time, employees are growing personally and professionally.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Give him a hand. Good job. And now I'm going to close on the organizational part. We covered that, but again, I thought it was so critical. I want to ask you a closing question on those four areas. Where do you think the richest place in the world is? Where do you think the richest place in the world is? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Huh? Your mind? I don't know about that, Mel. I love this guy over here. I tell you what, but you know, when Karen this morning said we got to think about where we're going to be the next 20 years, I'm like, who are you going to think that with? All right, but no, he's a great guy. I love him to death. Terry, what'd you say? The graveyard. How many of y'all would agree with that? It's the truth. It's the graveyard. When people died, they took their dreams, their visions, their goals, their purposes with them. Don't let that happen to you. All right? That's the foundation that you build on right there. Now we get the folks to make it happen, and we train them right with this tool right here. It's not something to lord over them, and you're going to see that. It's a tool that's going to help you to communicate with them, to engage with them, to inspire them, to know their strengths, to know their weaknesses, and where and how you need to help them to develop their potential, to grow and help your company grow. That's how it all works. Doesn't that sound great? Yeah. All right, so let's get into the tough stuff, as we say, all right? So if you'll notice right there, if you'll turn now to the next page, I believe it is, and you should have one of these. I don't think you can read this. In fact, I'm going to look at the same one that you are. Everybody see it? Should look like this right here. Okay. Got it? All right. Now, this is what the end result looks like. There's some pages behind this, so you need to follow me real close here, that are going to be kind of just some paperwork to help you to put it together, and then you will transfer it over to this page right here. So these are some samples of what a finished product will look like. Everybody got it in front of them? Say yes. All right. Now, if you'll look up there, now this is the one on sales, and this is old, but don't worry about that. It's just the guideline for you to get perspective on what a finished product will look like when you complete it on the different areas. In fact, what's the best way to do, you know, that organizational chart? Have a PRD for each position. Once you get that PRD for that position, guess what you can do with it? You're looking to hire somebody. They come in for an interview. What can you do with that PRD? You let them see it. You've got a copy in front of you. They've got a copy in front of them. You show them, this is what your job will be about. These are the results that are expected. All right? That way they have an opportunity to look at this and say, wow, I think I can do this. This is what I'm looking for. Or, I don't know. And you've just shortened your interviewing processes probably in half. It will give you the things to look at, ask questions about to determine if they're the right fit for you and for the company and for them. Make sense? So it's a phenomenal interviewing tool. So the first thing, if you'll look at over there, at the top, it says major job function. So you will determine what the major job function is on your organizational chart. Or if you don't have one, which that's why we're here today, as to how to help that person know what their major job function is. In this case, the position exists to successfully turn prospects into paying customers. This is a sales position. I think it's something everyone can identify with, right? Now, so what is the number one key result area? You drop down, and what does it say? The areas in which I must accomplish specific results that when collectively achieved, fulfilled the job function. The function is what? To turn prospects into paying customers. The number one key result area to make that happen is, what does it say? Prospecting, right? Prospecting. This is probably an outside sales position. So that is the number one key result area. So if I went up to your employees, any of your employees, and I sat down with them and I said, tell me what is the most important thing that you do in your job. If you don't do anything else that's got to be done, what's the one most important thing that has to happen to accomplish the goals in your company? Could they tell me the answer? Or are they going to tell me a lot of activities? Right? So you want to know what is that number one key result area. Now we're going to go across from the top. We're not going down. We're going to go across. So follow me on that. So let's assume that you've got a salesperson sitting in front of you. Prospecting is the number one. Now there's performance standards for that position. See, you go to the right. Performance standards. My job in this key result area will have been satisfactorily completed when? Number one, 10% of monthly new appointments have been made with new accounts. Two, a minimum $5,000 per month of business from new accounts has been averaged. Three, no more than one account per year, and so forth. You set the standards. Don't pay attention to the words on here. This is not your company. This is not what you're doing. But you'll notice how specific those standards are, right? So those are the standards. Now you go over here. We're talking about that number one key area result of prospecting. What activities that I must do to accomplish the key results? Can everybody see it there? It's third block. Top. Got it? We're going across, not down. It says, identify and contact prospects, make appointments, cold calling. All right? We change that word now to new development calls. People don't like the word cold calling, do they? All right? Now keep going over to the right. Key skills, knowledge, and abilities. What must I know how to do in order to reach these results? Proficiently use ACT, software, whatever kind you use, knowledge and skills of the selling process, how to handle prospects' complaints and objections. That's all under the top key result area number one of prospecting. Does everybody understand that as you look across there? This means yes. All right. Now, I know when you're looking down at this for the first time, it's a little fuzzy possibly. But this is how it works. Now, then you go to what is the second most important thing? You see there, it's product presentation. Look again, look at KR number one. Now look at number two. Are you with me? And now you go across all the way again. All right? So let's look at product presentation. Look at the performance standards. An average closing ratio of 33% on established accounts and 25% on new accounts has been maintained. Now, what do you know about all of those things? They're very specific, aren't they? All right, now I'm going to go and share a few things with you, and we're going to come back to this. I want to tell you what the PRD is and how it works. But I wanted you to get a glimpse of it and how it works with folks. Now, what happens when you get this completed and you get familiar with it? By the way, Sherry came to one, our leadership conference, probably when she first joined. And by the way, this is normally a three-hour presentation, all right? And we're doing it in an hour and 15 minutes. But one of the things, before I forget now, because this is new to a lot of folks, you can have a simple job description if you want, and that's okay. A job description says, this is what your job is. A performance results description says, this is what you have to perform, all right, to get the results that we want in this particular position. You eliminate the gray. That employee needs to know exactly what is expected of them. Then we provide the education and the training to help them accomplish that. And through the PRD and your communications and your yearly interview, not interviews, but their evaluations, then you can help them to grow. And I would suggest you do your first one. A new employee, I would sit down and go over this every single month for the first 3 months. Once a month, go over it. What are you doing well? What are you struggling with? How can we help? What knowledge do you need? What more training in specific areas do you need? And see how that person responds. When I used to hire people, I put together such an intensive training program that I could find out normally within 4 weeks if that's the person I'm going to keep. Later, I didn't hire one person anymore. I hired a minimum of two. Because, you know, when you do a lot of interviewing and all of the recruiting and you go through all this training and the resources, that's why they said turnover was $160 billion and you lose someone. And then what happens? As soon as you lose somebody, you got to go out and you got to get a body, right? And since we need them and we're not looking because we want someone, we need them, we hire somebody who can walk, talk, and chew gum a lot of times, right? And then all of a sudden, later on, we have the same problems again. And that's why there's so much turnover. So what I started doing was hiring two people. And I'm talking about in sales consultants and trainers. Because I could train two just as well as I could train one. And if one didn't make it, the other one is successful, they're going to pay for the one that wasn't. And I only paid him a month's salary. So I put a very good intensive training program. Well, what am I looking for? I'm looking to see if they do what I ask them to do. I'm looking to see if they study the products, the knowledge that I want them to have. I want them to know our systems. I want them to know anything that you feel that they need to know how to do. And then I want to see what their work ethic is. I want to see how they retain it. I want to see how they communicate to myself and to other people in that company. Your people is your biggest investment, right? You look at payroll, you're going to find out where most of the money goes. That's it, pretty much, and simple. And when it's not working and they have to leave after you invested, now you're starting to feel part of that $160 billion a year that we just talked about. It's amazing sometimes, and I've interviewed a lot of HR people, that we will go out and buy a piece of equipment, and it may cost $50,000 or $25,000 or $10,000. And we have to keep that equipment up, don't we? We have to service it. We have to take care of the maintenance on it. We've got to do all of these things. But the minute you brought it and put it on that floor, if you turn around and tried to sell it, you're going to sell it for less than what you paid for it. But guess what? You get a good employee, you educate them, you train them, you support them, you encourage them, they're not going to depreciate. They're going to what? They're going to appreciate, right? Their value is going up, up, and up. And if they stay a long time, now you've got the nucleus of a good team, and they will help you to attract like-minded people. Just like Howard's team. I mean, I love working with these folks. It's just a pleasure. Most of them are a step ahead of me most of the time. I'll ask Michelle something. She says, already got it, already got it, already got things taken care of. It's such a pleasure to work with those kind of folks. All right, so with that in mind, what's the purpose of it? Okay, the PRD. Can everybody see it over there? It's a picture of what the position, when you have an employee, it's a picture of what the position looks like when it is being performed well. By the way, would y'all like these slides sent to you? All right, so Michelle, we have a list of the people here, so we have the emails. We can send it all out to them. Good. All right. The only thing I ask is this. They're for you. They're not to take out and use for any other purpose. Fair enough? Say yes.
Yes.
All right. Because I can get in trouble if you do that. All right. So it's a picture of what the position looks like when it is being performed well. It should be reviewed from the future, looking back. Almost like a vision, isn't it? Seeing the end from the beginning. It's not a job description. It is results, not task-oriented. It's based on results. It's not how busy you are. There's people that can do a job, an 8-hour job in 4 hours, and there's some people can take an 8-hour job and vice versa, right? So it's not task-oriented. It's in sync with the company's vision, mission, and values, and also purpose. It is ultimately fair to everyone concerned. If you ask most employees, do you look forward to your yearly review? What kind of answer do you think you're going to get? They don't look forward to it. Why? Help me out. Why don't they look forward to the yearly review? They're usually negative. And why are they negative? Why do they think they're going to be negative? Say that again out loud for us. They have no way to gauge their performance. So they feel like they're walking into a minefield, right? So if you've got a PRD, you can sit down with that individual and go over each key result area, exactly what they're responsible for, and have an opportunity to encourage them, train them, find out what their struggles are. Is it the job? Is it us? Or is it them? All right. So that gives us a tool to do that. And then you can walk out and say, hey, I think you did this real well. And by the way, I'm working on a document now for performance appraisals and that they'll fill out, not you. They're going to take these sections down and tell you how they felt that they did. All you have to do is disagree or agree. And believe it or not, I have one that I used. I want to kind of add some more things to it. And I found that employees would come in and they would actually give themselves a lower rating than I would a lot of times. And they'd say, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think you did in that area, that particular responsibility? They'd say, well, about a 5. I'd say, well, I'll have to disagree with you. I think you're about a 6 or 7. And they were, because I had all the information that I needed. Because, see, they were afraid that they said, I think I'm a 7 or 8, that I might not agree with them. So this is a good tool for helping people to look forward to that. Hey, Sage, you have your hand up?
Yeah, you know, and this is, it's like an elementary rule of nature here, because if you don't give somebody the parameters which to do their job description or to complete their life or whatever, they don't know where they stand with you. They don't, and it actually makes them more apprehensive and negative. It's like children that don't get any attention from their parents.
Right.
Act out because, you know, getting negative attention is better than getting no attention from you at all. And even God, I mean, we all kind of, when you read the Bible, is stand up. Even when you read the Bible, it's funny, if you read it, even God learned along the way with this creationist people. Even God, it took him a long time. The Israelites were his chosen people, but he had to lead them out to the desert, had to lead them to Mount Sinai, had to take, you know, Moses up onto the mountain and pass Moses the Ten Commandments so he could say, here's the first PRD, this is how I want my people to act. This is how I want them to know that there are my people.
Exactly.
Even God had to do that. So when we struggle in our own companies to put this together, the struggle is real, but it's necessary.
Absolutely. Beautiful. So this is a valuable tool, not only in hiring people, but doing their reviews, helping them know what to expect, their expectations. And later today, you're going to learn how to hire the right people. You got a guy standing back there named Patrick, and he's going, that's right, the one that Tom's pointing out, that's going to show you how to get the right people, go through that interviewing process, all right? I've seen his material. It's incredible. And I don't get commissions or anything like that on any of this stuff, but I'm telling you, I'd buy that guy's package if you want to know how to really recruit and hire good people. So with that in mind, you get the idea now of what the purpose of this is. Now let's go on a little bit further. The first thing you do is identify the position's key result areas. You start with number one. My job in key result area will have been done when the following conditions exist. Now that is over there. Go back to the pages we were on a minute ago. This right here. All right. I'm not going to go the other pages yet. Just stay on that one page that you had a few minutes ago. That's what we're talking about, the key result area number one. Now, let me ask you a question. You're the owner of the company. Do you know what your key number one key result area is? See, Sherry, when she went through that, you know, training when we did this, she was sitting over there, and out about 2 hours into the meeting, she was having to fill one out and do one. And all of a sudden, Sherry looked up. She says, oh, my gosh, now I get it. She says, now I can help my folks do this. I don't understand it now. It's going to be easy now. So, yes, you need to sit down and fill out one for yourself. All right, because you're the leader of the group. All right. So what is the number one key result area for you? Got quiet in here all of a sudden. Yeah. And, Project the vision, but what does that entail? So let's say it's project the vision. Let's just assume, you know, that that's what you've got down. You remember, having a vision is one thing, but how you accomplish it is another, correct? And how helping your people understand what it is and how to implement it and make it happen. So that might be the standards. Now you got to go over to the standards if that's your number one key result area. Then you go from those standards across to the right. What are the duties and activities that you must perform to get those key results? Then what skills and knowledge and abilities do you need to have? See, so you go right across. Then I'd say, Michael, now what is number two key result area? And you go right across and do the same thing again. Now you've got something to carry around with you or look at on your desk to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And I can assure you, it's going to help you know what your one thing is. And then you start focusing on your one thing. So this is saying key result areas, but you could almost say, what are your top 3, 4 priorities, and in the order of importance? People go to Warren Buffett all the time, and he said, they always ask him, tell me 2 or 3 things I really need to do to be successful. And he says, well, first of all, write down all of what you consider to be your priorities. And a lot of them will write it down when he speaks, and he gives them about 5 minutes to do this, and they have pages 15, 16, 20 priorities. So now what I want you to do is to pick the top 3. Just write the top 3 down. Then they write the top 3. Then he says, now put them in the order of importance. Number 1, number 2, and number 3. Now the rest of them, get rid of them. He says, because you can only focus on those top 3 if they're that critical if you're running the company. And I think was doing something the other day. What's that guy that has the Virgin Airlines? What is it? Branson, yeah. I told this once, I think, on one of the pods. I only have one pod now. All I'm doing is one-on-one coaching. But I remember using this example. He was asked by Darren Hardy, called him and said, look, I have a member of our group here, and he wants to hire you as a speaker. And we called the office over there, and or Darren Hardy called the office of Branson, left a message over there to his private secretary, administrative assistant. I'm old school, forgive me, all right? And said he had a $250,000 speaking fee if Richard would come there and speak to his employees. And they got a letter back and they said, thank you, but Mr. Branson will not be able to do that at this time. That was all, you know, but thank you for the invitation. Well, the guy called Darren Hardy again. He said, look, man, I want him as a speaker. He says, I'll give him $500,000 to come over here. And so he sent it again. Same letter came back. I'm so sorry. Thank you again for the invitation. But Mr. Branson cannot take your speaking engagement. So the guy now, he's a very wealthy guy. He's got a very successful company. He calls back and says, look, just tell him the name, the price. He says, whatever it is, I'll pay it and I'll send a jet to pick him up. Of course, he's got his own airline. He might not need to do that. But he did offer that. Then a letter came back that said the following. Thank you. I talked to Mr. Branson and he said, thank you for the invitation. Maybe at another time, but my priorities, I have three priorities for this year. And speaking engagements is not one of those. I'm focused on those three priorities only for this year. Maybe next year. Now that's a man who's a billionaire. He said three priorities. Buffett said the same thing. What we're doing is taking the three, coming down to the number one thing, but you can use the same guidelines to find out what is your key result areas. So I want to encourage you, the first thing to do is to put together a performance results description for yourself and ask yourself, what is my number one key result area? And what are the standards do I need to set for myself? And then you go right across, what are the duties and activities that I need to perform? What skills and knowledge and abilities will I have to carry this out? Now, as the leader, you're doing what? You're setting the right example. You are now leading, because it always starts where? Here and here. You ever notice sometimes that employees are a little bit like children in one way? I was. They don't do what we say, they do what we do. What they see. That's what they look at. So this is why it's so important that everything starts with us. So my job in the key result area number one will have been done when the following conditions exist. You've got it in the left column. So I'm just going over again because I know this can be a little bit tricky if you've never had the opportunity to look at it. Then there's usually about 4 to 8 key result areas most of the time. Now, you may only have 4. Is Jim Sharp here? Jim? Jim sent me, I sent him the forms. We worked on the one during a one-to-one on his PRD. He sent me a one-page document, just like this right here. And he just, I think, had one key result area on it. Right, Jim? But then he listed over here all those areas. He filled it out. He actually... Did you draw that with a ruler or something? That's all right. Yeah, and he filled all of these areas in. It was like handwritten. And I went over it, I called him, and we had to change a few things, but what was the purpose of those changes, Jim? Do you remember? I wanted you to be more what? Specific. He did a great job. I mean, I got that and I looked at it and he'd written it all out. And the only thing we did was make it a little bit more specific. And when he did that, he's got a good PRD for that one area. And how long did it take you to do that?
About
an hour. So that's just one key result area that he put on there, and he took care of that in an hour. The whole thing was, well, like Sherry, it took her around 2 hours, and she had 3, if I'm not mistaken, while we were there that day. So, are you starting to get the picture? That means yes. Okay. Now, all right, let's go to the next one real quick. It will identify the position's key result areas. You've got 4 to 8 KRAs. Now, get this one here. This is very, very important. The last KRA, whether you just have 2, 3, 4, and up to 8, is always professional development. I say personal growth and development. Again, if your employees are not growing, your company's not going to grow. I've worked now with AC, had several trips down there. We're actually working on the PRDs. They have to have them completed on my next trip. I worked with them, thrown three of the visits with this to get them to this point. We also filled out a planning process where their departments are responsible for having a business plan, 8 steps to the business plan. Again, they're learning and growing because these are the people that he will build upon. And when they grow, the company's going to grow. And they've got some pretty important positions because I know what his goals and dreams are. So they've got to be able to handle the load, so to speak, right? All right, with that in mind, be sure that you have a personal growth and development for your employees. Now, how do you know where they need to grow? Think about this. How do you know where they need to grow? There you go. Yes, thank you. Right there on the PRD. That's going to be your monthly meetings and then maybe your 90-day meetings to help them. What you're doing now is engaging your employees, which is a major problem in our country. And you've heard Tom do a lot of presentations on engagement. So now we get to engage them. We need to communicate with them. We get to know their strengths, as I mentioned earlier, their weaknesses, where they need help. Know their goals, help them to set goals. This is how we build relationships with people. This is how we develop the right kind of folks. All right, with that in mind, then you compile the list of activities. So all this is right over here, but this is, again, the purpose. They don't need to be measurable, but they can be helpful in hiring and training. And each candidate makes simple and logical. It makes each candidate selection simple and logical, not an emotional process. And I say that for this reason. There was a survey done, something like 2,500 people who do hiring. And you know, they asked them, what was the main thing that caused you to hire this person? Anybody want to take a shot at what they said? The majority of them?
They liked them.
It's very close, Howard. That was part of it. They said, kind of a gut reaction. Kind of a gut reaction. Well, you know, that gut sometimes can be wrong, right? We need to get a little bit more information than just from our gut, right? And then all of a sudden, that's why the turnover is so high. We need a better system to do that. And we start with what Patrick will be doing today about how to recruit and hire the right people. All right, with that in mind. So when you use this PRD, then you can coach people. Everybody, please say the word coach. All right. So what is the purpose of it? Over here, it's about development in three areas. Education, to learn, motivation to feel, and training to do. Now you have an opportunity to coach in people, engage them, coach, communicate, develop their potential, help them expand their comfort zones. They don't get this at other players. If there's a small market out there of good people to hire, you have to be a little bit different, a little bit better. You're not like these big corporations. You can turn on a dime. You can make things happen overnight. Oops, not quite there yet. All right. Now, very quickly, do you have a vision? I want you to look at your neighbor on both sides. Turn, look at one, look at the other, and just say yes or no. All right? All right. Now, the next step is this. All right, now the next step is this. If I ask you to give it to them, can you tell them what it is? Well, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to embarrass anybody that don't have one. All right. Any questions real quick before I've got a couple other things I want to close out on? We got to go eat. Any questions? Now, let me tell you what we can do. This is a three-hour workshop. We had about an hour and 10 minutes because Howard took my other 20. And one of the things I'm doing is like I did with Jim, is on your one-to-one, those of you that I'm coaching, we can go over this, take the whole hour to go over a PRD or the planning process. The best thing is take about 2 sessions to do it right. And I've done it for several people. They brought their employees even in it for that 1 hour. Same thing on the coaching, same thing on the business plan. and that type of thing. The reason I was able to do it with AC is because he spent the day with him. It's because he lives where we do. So if that is something that will be of some help to you, I'll be glad to work with you on in terms of accomplishing that. Now, any other questions about it? That way you can get the whole thing because it takes a little while. I can give some examples. Dan?
One question about three priorities. Would you say three priorities in business are personal or combine them in three?
Run that by me again.
So Richard Branson and Warren Buffett said three priorities.
Right.
Would they be business or personal? So three business.
Well, you're doing business here, but you can have also the same thing for personal in terms of priorities. Like you got the wheel. You may have a priority in each one of those areas, but then you have to decide what three are the most important in my life right now. This may be a personal one. This may be a business one. But the idea is to nail it down in terms of priorities. I'm talking about now, not the PRD. And put them together and determine what it is and then put your plan together. Remember, there's no vision without a plan. It's not going to happen. All right, a couple quick things here. Number one, and I want to share this with you as we go to lunch today. A blind man's world is bounded by the limits of his touch. A ignorant man's world by the limits of his knowledge. A great man's world by the limits of his vision. Without a vision of the future, life will lose its meaning. In Jeremiah 29:11, however, and this is the good news, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to get this now. This is in the Bible. Plans to prosper you. Prosper. And not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know what? When I got that going for me, I can just say, wow, thank you, Lord. And why is that important? Because your potential will be realized when you say yes to your dreams, your goals, your vision, everything like that, when you say yes. And you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. As Howard just said sometimes, all your growth will take place outside of your comfort zone. All your goals are going to be outside of your comfort zone. All your dreams will be outside of your comfort zone. So you step out, you take the tools like this, the tools you're hearing here, you put them into your life work, your business, personally. You take them one step at a time, you bring them down to the most important priorities, and you go to work. And if you will work diligently on that, I forgot who said it the other day. It was, he said in 5 years, if you will work diligently on something like this, your whole world can be turned around. I experienced that. I truly did. Your whole world can be upside down. You've got all the tools right here, and you and I are very blessed. We live in an age today where we can go on the internet. You got a question, you can get anything you want out of it. You can go just type in versions of a vision or mission statements. I had them from Apple. I had them from Microsoft. I had them from everybody. So you can get all this information. But the key is, as a man named Mr. Howard Partridge said, the main reason the businesses don't make it is called what? F-T-I. So whatever you do when you leave here, don't go home and say, boy, that was a great conference, right? I heard all this good stuff. And you take the book and you put it up on the shelf and the binder somewhere in a drawer and say, you know, just as soon as I get some time, I'm going to do all that. And what happens? We come to the next seminar and the books are still on the shelves. Don't do that, folks. You've got dreams and goals and God's behind you. He's got a purpose for your life and He will help you fulfill it. I'm speaking from experience and many other people in this room. Take advantage of it. All right? Thank you. Thank you.